Okay, a happy Mitzvah Yontif to all our friends from Joburg. And we're ready for today's daf. Today's daf in Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Gimel. And we're still holding on the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So we're looking for the cases where a Shvuat HaEdut is going to be Mechayev a Korban Erlevi Yared. And it's only in conditions where there was a difference, critical difference that was made by the fact that these two witnesses refused to testify. Okay, so we talked about, you know, what would be if there was only one witness, and that maybe that would be a Dover HaGorim L'Momayn. And then the Mishnah also came up with a case in which there were two completely separate Kitot of Edim, and it says that if first the original cut was kefir, and then afterwards the second cut was kefir, that both of them would be chayev. So the Gemara asks, how does that make sense? Bishlama, I mean, understand the second cut, yes. Because at that point, if the first cut had already been kefir, so since kefir la rishona, the testimony of the second group was absolutely critical. In the case where you're claiming here that the first one is also chayev, even though the second one was still available, what was critical about that? After all, they could say, look, we knew you had your own Aiden, this other cut, and we knew that they were available. And the reason that we didn't want to get out there and to testify was because we figured you had what to rely on. So how can you be Mechai of us if our testimony really wasn't all that critical? Therefore, Rishona, why would the first group? Why are they Chayev? Only the second cut should be Chayev. Okay, Mishnia. When the first cut did it, there's still another group available. And they are, when we say group, we mean these two Adim, right? Because we're only talking about the fact that both of them were kofar. So we'll call it a cut. Amravina, Achabim, Ayaskinan. The Mishnah's talking about a fascinating case. Mishnah's talking about a case where, at the time, the first cut was kefir, the second cut was actually not available. Why? Because they weren't kosher witnesses. Why weren't they kosher witnesses? Because at the time that the cut had been kefir, they were related to each other through marriage to sisters. So the two men that were supposed to be made, they were married to two sisters, and because of that, as brother-in-laws, they are not able to be made for one another, in which case, there was really only one cot that was available. So then, I understand, so then, well, obviously, I don't know, we know that if people are not kosher for testimony, that of course they're not chayev. Why in the world would we take such a ridiculous case? I mean, that's pshita, isn't it? No, I haven't finished explaining. My explanation is based on an chiddush that is hidden here between the lines. And that was that they are related to each other at the time that the first cut is kofar, but it's still a big chiddush because the wives, now, even though it says wives, it doesn't really have to be both wives. But I mean, it's even a bigger chiddush of the wives. The wives were deathly ill at the time that the first cut was kofar. And they're basically on their last legs. They're actually gosasot. They've given up on their lives. They're brain dead, whatever. So they're no longer at this point. You would think that ma'od adema, since rov gosasim lemita, look, I mean, the bottom line is we knew that tomorrow there's going to be kosher edus available. Because the women are going to be dead. And it really, if even only one of them would be dead, that would still be enough. The reason that we say both of them was to make it even more, you know, astounding. It's more statistically clear that, I mean, we were absolutely certain that they're certainly not going to both survive till tomorrow. So we figured, okay, so we won't give the edus today. And tomorrow you'll go to the other cot. Gamash Malan, that is irrelevant at the time that we denied knowledge of the edus, they were not kosher to give testimony. And therefore, Lamaisa, we are the only ones that hold the critical key to your ability to get your money. And since we denied knowledge of the Eidos, therefore we are chayev. Which brings us to this amazing moment here on Matzoi Isruchag that we've been waiting for all of this time, our very own Sir Richard. I could see the disappointment in Doc's face is right above you. He figured for sure, watching you eat, you're never going to be ready, and he was going to take over.
On my screen, he's right below me, though. No. There you go.
Okay, so now we want to talk about how we parse the various shvuas. So we talked about a type of shvua we had before when we were talking about shvuas bitui, that if there are several different shvuas that are included, even when the person says just once the lashon of shvua, it's possible to be mischayev. Remember the case of pat, 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 where you kept repeating, you know, pat seorim, pat chitim, and pat kuzmim, that we, since he re-mentioned the pat, even though he only used the word shvua once, that word shvua was chal on every one of those pots individually. And that was not a sign that it was time for you to start washing pots, Gavi. This is pot, pot, pay tough. Oh, man. I should have known. So if, how about in the case of Shvuas Ha'edus, we have the same situation. Yes, turns out we do. So if somebody says, Mashbia ani alechem, so he's got his edim here, and he says, I mashbia you, im lo tavo v'tiiduni. So this, it's a strange language again. Remember, we've seen this interesting language. But the point over here is that if you don't come and be made for me, yeah, then what? I mean, this is meant to be a shvur that you have to come and be made. So, I mean, the point of it is that Be'etzem, he's trying to say, you should all drop dead or whatever. You should be chayev in an Allah. Remember, because this is Shema Kol Allah. So basically, the way you would curse somebody is, if you don't come and bring this Eidos, then these terrible things should happen to you. You know? So, okay, so it just mentions the implications here in the Shvua. And I have, this guy has holding my property. First of all, it was because, and I asked him to take care of something for me, and now he's denying that he has it. And I lent him money, and he's denying that. And he stole from me, and he's denying that. And he picked up something in the street that was mine. He knows darn well it's mine, and he's denying that. So it's all, these are the things that are mentioned in the pasuk separately, actually. So it was a pikadon, it was a tzomet yad, which is the lashon of alvalon. There was gezel. There was Aveda, and the Eidim say, just Shvua she'inonu yodim l'chayidut. Look, we know what you're talking about. We don't know anything about anything. So then they're only chayav for one Shvua. But if they said, even though they only said the word Shvua once, they said, Shvua she'inonu yodim, she'yesh l'chabiyat ploni, and then they list every one of the things that they swear that they know nothing about, separately, and they say, we don't know about this pikadon, or this tzumet yad, or this gezel, or this aveda, then they would indeed be chayovim hakol achas v'yachas. So since they said it separately, the word shvua is seen as going on each one. So this is where the type of chiyav was different. How about if the chiyav is the same? Let's say, we're only talking about an Aveda, or we're only talking about Gezel, or we're only talking about a Pikadon. But there's several different items in that Gezel or that Pikadon. So they say, I want you to come and to testify for me in Lo Tavo V'Taidu Sheyesh Bi Biyad Ploni, let's say, just a Pikadon. But the Pikadon consists of, like, different things, Chitim, Saorim, Kusmim. And even there, if it's the same type of thing, it's only if they just say, look, we don't know anything. So, okay, then they're only chayav one. But if they say, shvua, she'enanu yodim, she'yesh lecha biyad ploni chitim, v'saorim, v'kusmim, then they would be chayav on each one of those, even though they're not different types. But since they are essentially different shvuas, and they're referring to different types of piktanis, here too, they would be chayav on each one separately. Wow. Okay, now, how about something that seems to not be 100% monetary? So let's say he says to these witnesses, okay, I must be on the Alechem. You have to come and be made that this guy owes me Nezek for having caused damage, or Chatzi Nezek, which Lechora means that his shor, which was a tam, damaged my shor, right? And therefore, he's only Chayev Chatzi Nezek, or Tashlume Kefel. So maybe he stole and he's Chayev Kefel for stealing, or maybe he's Chayev even if he stole my shor or seh, and he was either sold them or he shechted them, which would make him chayev in tashlumei arba or tashlumei chamisha, or he raped my daughter, and therefore he's chayev the chamishim shekel to me, she'anas ish ploni et biti. These are all kenasot, right? Or he seduced my daughter, or now we're moving on to a different list. The list that we just had were lists of things seem to be that were only knasot. So from the Chatzi Nezek on, the Chatzi Nezek, Teshulmei Kefel, Teshulmei Arba V'Chamisha, Ones, Mefata, those are all the classic knasot, right? Now we're moving on to another set of things that are a chiddush, because you would have thought that there's no money owed. So let's say he says, I want you to come and be made in Beis Din that my son hit me. Now, if he says hit me, it means he hit me, but he was not chovelbi. There is a Mishnah coming up right away, a contrasting Mishnah, in which all of these cases are now said with that slight difference. And in the slight difference, it says, my son was chovelmi. Now, of course, if a son is chovel, then he's chayev misa, and then there would become lebedarabamine. And if there's come lebedarabamine, then there would be no point in the monetary implications of this testimony, because he wouldn't be able to be mechayev him money. But in this case, he says that my son hit me, and therefore he embarrassed me, so he would be chayev to pay me busha. Or that on Yom Kippur, my friend was chovelbi, and he was actually mechalo Yom Kippur by causing me bleeding. Or he lit my barn, burned down all my grain on Yom Kippur. In all of these cases, there is a chiyuv. So there, again, there's a chiddush that even though Yom Kippur, you're chayev kores, there still would be no p'tur of kom le'bidurabimine, as we'll see in the Gemara. So what exactly the chiddush is in all of these cases is not clear. And the simple implication when you read it is that the chiddush in the Mishnah is that even though you're talking about having these people come and testify about a knas, that nonetheless, even though the person could get out of paying the knas, if he ends up admitting to it before the eight testifies for sure, right? So he would say moda b'knas would be pleter. So seems like that's the chiddush in the Mishnah, that even though ultimately, it may well be that you're denying the testimony is irrelevant because the guy ends up being murdered by knas, that afapik and your chayev. That's what it sounds like. That, which is why the Gemara immediately raises the issue openly. Iboilo. Therefore, I want to know, what is actually the din? If you're mashbia ede knas, so now you make these eden take a kfira on a taina that they know testimony about someone who owes you a knas. Is that, if they swear that they don't know, and they did, is that a shvuas eidus that's b'chayev them a korban al v'yored or not? So now, let's just note one thing. That is, that there is a major machlokus about what the din is if somebody is motiv b'knas and witnesses show up about the knas that he was motiv on. Is moda b'knas potter an actual p'tur? Or is moda b'knas potter simply mean that we will not be mechayev you knas on the basis of your own self-incrimination? But if after the self-incrimination is made, witnesses show up and testify, to the same effect, then you will not be patering yourself, because it's not an active ptur. Or is motive knas pater a ptur? Having once admitted it before there was any witnesses that said anything, at that point the Torah is no longer mechayev. You know, that's a big machlokas. Because according to Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon, Loti Bailach, there's nothing to even ask. Because according to him, even if the guy would come and be motive to the knas, if the Edom show up and testify, he's going to have to pay. And therefore, it's irrelevant that he might be moda. If they refuse to testify one way or the other, whether he would be moda or not, they are actually causing this person significant financial loss because now he's not going to be able to recover it, right? So he says, even if the person was moda, yavo edim v'yaidu, let the edim come into court and we will be mechayev anyway. Because there's no ptur of motive b'knas. There's just no chiev of motive b'knas. So there, for sure, there's no question about it. Of course they would be chayev for a shvuas ha'ed. It's like anything else. But the question would be, ki tibay lecha liben rabbanan. The rabbanan hold that motive b'knas is an active ptur. And they say that a motive b'knas v'yachar kach bo'edim is pater. So then the question is, they could say, look, even if we had testified for you, and we would have admitted that we know testimony, and you would have called us to court, the guy could have come in 5 minutes before we came into court and be moda, and then it wouldn't have made any difference if we would have testified, because moda b'knas is an act of exemption. So what would be the din if you hold like the rabban? So according to them, aliba the rabban, and moda b'knas v'harkach bo'edim would be pater. Can we say, okay, but at this point he has not been moda yet, and therefore there's certainly a possibility that in my denying that I know any testimony, I'm going to be messing you up? Well, now, wait a second. Remember, we have another question about Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon, remember? We had the machlokas before between the Chachomim and Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon about the question of whether Dover HaGorem L'Momon is K'momon Dami. Remember the case of one aid? And Rabbi Elazar bar Shimon says, even if there's only one aid, since he could be mechayev a shvua, then that's considered to be enough to be mechayev you a korban aidus. Because it could well be, that if he would have shown up, then the guy wouldn't have wanted to swear falsely, and he would have admitted the fact that he owed the money. Now, that's not a definite loss, but in making him need to swear, the Eid Echad may be causing him to be moda, and therefore it's a davar hagorim l'maman, and according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that is enough of a reason to be mechayev eshvuas ha'edus. Now, I mean, so before we talk about your question, we need to first decide, what do we hold over here? These Rabbanan that are talking about the din of the knas, how did they hold about the other issue in the case of the Eid Echad, and meaning in the case of a Dover HaGorem L'Momon? If they agree with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon here in Shvuas, and he says, HaKamar Dover HaGorem L'Momon is K'momon Dami, so this is at least a Dover HaGorem L'Momon. I mean, it's much more powerful, actually, right? Because in that case, the guy would have to, the case of the Eid Echad, if they testified, that person would have to go, and he needs to take that Shvua. And since he might be moda instead of taking a shvua, so therefore that would be mechayev him, right? In this case, he is chayev unless he runs in before they come in his moda. So, I mean, this is much more of an actual chiev, and it's much closer. If you hold over there, a davar gorem l'momon is k'momon, that this is at least a davar gorem l'momon, correct? That's for sure. So there's nothing to ask in the event that the Rabbanan hold like Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon. Remember, we have two Rabbanans and two Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimons. So we have one Machlokas Rabbanan with Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon about whether a Dover HaGorem L'Momon is K'momon. We have another Machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon about whether Moda B'Knas V'Yachar Kach Bo Edim is Chayev or Pater. So don't get confused. We want to know, we're asking over here, what the halacha would be. Obviously, we're only asking it on the basis of assuming that achar kach bo edim, you'd still be potter. Therefore, we have a question. if he could pater himself, is this considered to be an actual Shavuos HaEdus case or not, because he could get out of paying. So that, first of all, would be dependent about whether Adavar Agarim LaMamon, which this certainly is his commandment. So obviously we can't be, I mean, if that were the case, if they hold, like Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, that Adavar Agarim LaMamon is commandment, dummy, so then this is at least that, so of course it would be chayav. So therefore, they don't hold that. We're asking on the basis that if those chachamim hold like these chachamim, so in other words, we hold both that Adavar Agarim LaMamon is lav commandment, dummy, and we also hold that the din of Meida B'Knas is that it is an actual p'tur. And if the Edim come afterwards, if he was Meida B'Knas, he is still going to be p'tur. So then put the two together, and we want to know, since in the event that he would end up being, if he did end up being Meida, he could actually p'tur himself, so then it's not considered to be a kfiras moment, because the Edom could say, look, you know, the guy's going to hear that we're coming, he'll probably run into court and he'll be made. Oh, Dilma, in this case, it's not similar to the Adavar Agarim LaMamon in the other case, because currently, unless he actually does something to change it, currently he would be chayef, because he has not been made. In that other case, currently he would be in a position of maybe if he was Meida, he would be Chayev, but currently he would not be Chayev, you see. So the question is this considered to be also more than just the Adavar Agarim LaMamon as it is there? Well, I understand this is Gemara. I mean, isn't it obvious in the Mishnah? I thought that's the whole point in the Mishnah, no? Take a look at the Mishnah. Mashbia ani alechem, im lo tavo v'teiduni, sheyesh bi'ad ploni nezek v'chatzi nezek. Now, chatzi nezek is a knas. Because, I mean, we have a rule that whoever doesn't pay what it is that he actually caused damage for, then that payment cannot be a payment of mamon. It's a payment of knas. So if it's a knas, then that's the whole point in the Mishnah, that if Edim refused to testify, even on a knas, which the guy could get out of paying in the event that he would be made up before, that nonetheless it's considered to be a chiyuv of Shavuos HaEdus, right? Well, no. I mean, not if you hold it Pal Ganiska's Mamona. If Pal Ganiska's Mamona, you can't bring a riot from here. Oh, look, fine. According to the Mandio, but Pal Ganiska's Mamona, you don't have a riot. Well, what about if you hold Pal Ganiska Knasa? I mean, you've got a Beferish Mishnah. So what are you going to say? It's quite clear that the Mishnah is saying that you're Chayev for Knas. No? No. Chatzi Nezek, there's other cases of Chatzi Nezek. Maybe you're right about Chatzi Nezek in terms of a short tam, but everybody agrees that Chatzi Nezek Tzrorot, remember what that is? An animal is walking along Kidarka, and its foot hits a rock. The rock goes and breaks something of yours, have to flying out from under the foot of the animal. So that's regel. But it's a kocho instead of a direct nezek, and we have a chiddush, which is a halachal mashbi Sinai, that a chatzi nezek, that a nezek caused by tzrorot, which is only kocho, only pays chatzi nezek, even though it's a told of regel, and even though it's obviously mamain, there is a special din, halachal mashbi Sinai, that you don't pay the full amount, since it's only your koach. So maybe that's what it's talking about. And nobody holds that that's kenasa. There it's a hilchasa gemirala, that it is mamonahu. So you don't have a riot from here. Okay. You know perfectly well that the next case is kefel. Now, for God's sake, kefel is a kenas. Tashlumei kefel. You're paying double the amount that you stole, right? No, yeah. Why do you think I didn't want to bring kefel in the beginning? I didn't want to bring kefel because every kefel also includes the keren. If you be Moda B'Knas or the Kefal, you're still going to have to pay on the basis of your own admission. You're going to have to pay the value of what you stole, right? So maybe that's what it's referring to. Maybe it's not referring to the case of the part of it, which is a double payment. It's referring to the single payment. So, I mean, what's the Chiddush? That the Gemara will ask. But you can't prove that a fira in knowledge of testimony about a knas, you can't prove from here that you would be chayev. Well, but it also says Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha. Well, maybe that's also because of the Karen component of Arba V'Chamisha, which is, of course, Mumin. All right, well, I mean, what about the thing about raping my daughter? This guy raped my daughter. What's the din over there? I mean, that's a Chamishim Shekel, and that's a Knas. Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, it's all very nice that he raped your daughter, but that's also assault and battery. I mean, just because it's sexual doesn't take off the assault and battery, does it? So over there, besides the knaz for the rape, there's also boshes upagam. And for the boshes upagam, maybe that's what it's referring to. Those are mumon payments, and mumon payments are certainly chayiv in terms of shvuas ha'edus. Well, so then, I mean, then what would be the point, for heaven's sakes? Why would the Mishnah list the Karen component of all of these things where that's no different than any other mammon, and it's only listing all these cases just to confuse us? Is that what you're saying? Just to confuse us. You know, it sounds like it's knas. Ha, ha, ha. I gotcha. No, it's not knas. It's the Karen component. But it's insane. Why would anybody write a Mishnah like that? I mean, there's no point. Kula mamonu. Then you're telling me every last case I'm pointing out to you is additional cases. So I figured, okay, if you think one of the cases you can get out of, I mean, I'm showing you, what would it be the point of writing all of these cases if none of them are meant to be addressing this new idea of knas? Can you tell me that? Is it my kamashmalot? You have to write so many different cases. Well, look, the point is, there's two sets of things in this Mishnah, right? And I agree, there's only one Chiddush in set one and only one Chiddush in set two. So the first part of the Mishnah, which lists all of these things about Knas, the only part of it that is something that we needed to know is that Chatzi Nezek is Mammon and not Knas. And then, so that's the Chiddush, that Chatzi Nezek Tzrorot is definitely Mammon. So once we talked about that, so we're already pointing out, and don't get confused, because a lot of things that you think are knasot are only partially knasot. So keep in mind, I should already mention that, maybe. And the Sefer also came to teach a Chiddush, and that was the case of Hidlik Eskedishi B'Yom HaKippurim. And what's the Chiddush over there? That is to tell me that the Mishnah is warning you not to pass like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, remember, he said, the Tani Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, say Yom HaKippurim ki Shabbat the Tashlonim. Just like Shabbat, if he's Mechal or Shabbos, it is Mechai of money, so he's Potter, because we say, Kom le b'rabimine, so too, some is Mechal Yom HaKippurim, is Mechai of b'nafshay. Obviously, it's not the same type of Mechai of b'nafshay, but it's a Chiyav of Kores, which is the Nefesh, so he learns the same thing. Comes along the Mishnah to tell me, not true, he is actually not Chayav. That's the point. So once we talk about that, so we talk about the case of the son who hits a father. There too, it looks like it's similar to a Chiyav Misa. Keep in mind that it's not precisely a Chiyav Misa because you didn't talk about a case of Chavalah. You talked about only a case of Haka'a. So the Mishnah is there in order to talk about cases that straddle the line. That's the point, the common denominator of the Mishnah. So it's talking about straddling the line in different ways. And meanwhile, it puts in all of the cases in which you need to keep it to consideration, the subtle differences that will spell the difference between a chiyuv of mammon in the event of the testimony or a non-chiyuv of mammon. So I don't know. It's not, I can't claim that I have a real raya from the Mishnah. So the question still stands. I'd like to see something clear. Do you have a clear indication that the din about denying testimony about a knas would actually be considered to be mechayev a korban or not? Okay, how about this? How about looking at this braisa with me? The braisa says, "Mashbia ani aleichem im lo tavo v'te'iduni shehotzi ish ploni shem ra al biti." Now, obviously, the guy in order to do that would have already had to have been in Bezdin, right? So the point over here is that it took place in a different Bezdin, and these people are coming along, claiming in another Bezdin, this guy was Motzi Shemra in a different Bezdin, and he needs to bring testimony to that effect. So he tells these two guys who were there in that bez, and he says, I need you to come and to testify that this guy actually claimed that my daughter had been sleeping with somebody else and that she wasn't a bit too long and so on. And there they say, we don't know anything about it. So the din is, they're chayev. If a guy would have admitted it, so then you're potter. Hoda b'pi atzmo. So if he says it's true, I did that, so then you don't have to pay the kanas. So what do you see from here? That if the Enim refused, even though had the guy been motivated to meet Piatzmo, he would be putter. Now, that shows that Lechora, you are Chayev Eshvus Eidus on something that the guy could have gotten out of. Says the Gemara, well, no, maybe this is going Aliba, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, remember, we said, of course, according to him, there's nothing to discuss, because he says, even if the guy was Meida, let the Edom come in and be made, and he'll still have to pay. Yovo Edim v'yaidu. So in this case, it doesn't address our concern. Our question was, what is the din if you don't hold like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon? We spelled that out right at the beginning. If you don't hold the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, what would be the din if you, at this point, are asked to testify about a guy who has not as yet been made? Could you say that, well, maybe he'll be made, so what would be the difference? If you don't have Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, he's going to get out of any paying anyway. That was our question. If this is going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, it doesn't address it at all. Nah, come on. How could that brighter be going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, if the next words are, but if he was Moda on his own, he would be putter? Isn't that telling you that even in this case, in which these people would have been Moda, they would have been testifying, he would be putter anyway? So Hoda mi atzmo, that he would not be chayev if the Edom would come afterwards. So what is that going according to? That's going according to the Rabbanan. Because according to Rebbe Elazar, you would be chayev. So how can it say Hoda mi atzmo putter? If Hoda mi atzmo would be chayev, aliba the shita of the Chachamim, who say that he's always putter. According to Rebbe Elazar, it should say even if he was Hoda mi atzmo would be chayev. No. Yeah. The point here is like this, that the whole bright is going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, right? What it's trying to say is, the ratio of the price says, look, definitely you're chayev if you refuse to testify about the knas of Motzi Shemra. Why is that true? So, because the only time that this guy would have ended up being putter would be in a case if he was moda mipi atzmo de putter lo mashkachasla ela hechet aleka in klal. That's what it's saying. In the case where there are no witnesses and there's no confusion at all, he was Hoda mi atzmo, and that is the only information we have. That case, and only that case, is the case that you would be actually putter. But in a case where there are edim, such as over here, and had they been made, he would have had to pay. So because of that, that's why we're saying that you're chayev in a case of knas the same way you would be chayev in a knas of mammon, because he's no longer going to be able to patter himself by being made. Why? Because we're going specifically like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. I can read the braita like that just as well. So we still have actually no raya about our own question. We're going to have to leave that hanging. And this brings us to overtime payments to our dear Capitan, who, assuming that he is sober, we know what happens whenever we leave him off and he thinks he's finished for the night. Hello, Capitan. Yeah, not bad at all. Mashbia ani alechem. Now we get into a different issue. All along we've been talking about Shvata Edut in terms of cases where it's critical to have their Edut for something that is going to make all the difference in terms of money. But how about if there's no bottom line in terms of money? What if the bottom line is something else? For instance, the guy says to these two witnesses, he says, you guys know very well that I am a Kohen. And around here, they refuse to believe that I'm a Kohen. They're not giving me any truma. And I want you to come into Beis Din and be made that you know that I'm a Kohen. Or that I'm a Levi. I should be able to get Meiser. Or people are claiming that my mother was divorced. I want you to come and to testify it's not true. I'm not the Ben of a Grusha, and I'm a kosher Kohen. I'm not the Ben of a Chalutza. Or I want you to testify that this other guy is a Kohen. Now, this is very confusing. The other guy is a Kohen? Remember that we have got a general rule about the cases of Shuasa Edus, which is only cases that the person himself who needed the testimony, and he demands that you testify there and only there, we said, are you going to be chayav Shuasa Edus? Remember, we had the case of a guy sends an eved or whatever to present the demands that he's not going to be chayav in denying testimony. So there's something fishy about this mishnah, because if we're talking about another guy, that Ish Ploni is a Kohen, or that Ish Ploni is a Levi, or that Ish Ploni is not a Ben Gerusha, or Ish Ploni is not a Ben Chalutza, or that Ish Ploni raped Onas Ish Ploni et Bito, O Pita et Bito, this guy went ahead and this other guy went ahead and raped this other person's daughter, or seduced his daughter. I mean, it's not your business. So if you want to go ahead and sue that guy on behalf of another person, that's not called Shuasa Edus at all. And yet, it seems here that the only reason that we're talking about this case is because of the fact that, we're not dealing with money, or we're talking about a case of Choval Bibini, my son, actually had wounded me. Not just that he hit me, like in the previous Mishnah, or Choval Bichaveri on Shabbos, or Hidli Kaddishi b'Shabbos, which is not like Yom Kippur, where he would only be Chayef Karet for doing that. And here he did it on Shabbat, and therefore this was a Komle B'Rabba Minei case, even according to the Rabbanu, who argue on Reb Nachman Ben Hakana. So in all of these cases, they are potter. Now let's go through these cases. So it seems to be that the reason that we're saying that they're potter is because they were told to say that so-and-so, talking about this last piece, that so-and-so is a Kohen, so-and-so is a Levi. But what if it would have been so-and-so owes him money? Then it would be chayim. It's only because this is not monetary, right? So, but then what was it? What did it say at the end of the Mishnah, which we're going to have later? We're not going to get to the Sefer, but it says over there, beferish, what we had learned earlier, that you have to, you're only going to be chayim if you are shomea mipi hatovea. It's the person himself that you have to hear it from. So this whole part is really, it's irrelevant that we're talking about things that are about a different person because he's not monetarily. He wouldn't be chayav no matter what. It has nothing to do. Even if he said, money laploni be atploni. A owes B money. You should come and be made. It's not your business. So why in the world does the Mishnah have that implication? That the only reason that you're putter is because you're dealing with things that don't have a bottom line, monetarily bottom line. I don't understand. Omar Shmuel, no, the point of this Mishnah is that we're referring to a lawyer. And that's the point of the Mishnah. That we're talking about someone who comes with a harsha'ah. And a harsha'ah is a power of attorney. It makes him an attorney. And it's coming to tell me that if someone comes into court with the power of attorney, then it's the equivalent of being shomea mipi hatovea. But I thought you don't have power of attorney on the cases of so-and-so owes $200 or anything that has to do with metaltalim. The rule is lo katvinan urchata ametaltalim. Remember, the urchata is the lashon that we use in Aramaic for a power of attorney, because urchata means the writes the Shilton. It's the power. We're talking about the powers that be. So we call the power of attorney an urchata. And the general rule is we can't write an urchata on metaltalin. You can only write an urchata on a real estate claim. And there's a very good reason for this. If you're writing an urchata on metaltalin, and the metaltalin themselves, we don't even know they exist. We know the real estate exists. So if you want to put in a claim on the real estate, you can go and you can write a power of attorney for the claim. There's no question that that piece of real estate exists. I'm going to write an urchata on metaltalin that I claim exists. I say I gave that guy a picadon and he's holding my wife's diamond ring. We don't even know if that exists. So how can we sign in a Beis Din that you should have the power of attorney to present that suit if it's Michzik Hashikra? Like, we're backing, by the very fact that we're writing the power of attorney, we are taking a stand that this thing actually exists, but the other guy says it doesn't exist. So how can we say, all right, but we're going to write a power of attorney, you see? So what Shmuel is saying doesn't make any sense because the cases in the Mishnah are cases of metaltalin. They're not cases of karkaot. Yeah, wait one second over here. It's true that we don't write a power of attorney, but we don't write a power of attorney where there has already been a argument, a legal argument about this thing. One guy claims that it exists. The other guy claims that it doesn't exist. In this case, there has not been anything as yet that passed between these two people. First thing, the first time we hear about it is where a guy walks into court with the power of attorney. And there, we have no reason to doubt that this thing exists. If the person had already said, I don't know what he's talking about. There never was a diamond ring. So then, of course, the court's not going to write a power of attorney. But if somebody says, look, I need to write a power of attorney because a guy has a diamond ring of mine, you know, in a city 1,000 miles away. So what are we going to say? No, you can't press that claim. Then press the claim. Then we'll see if it's true. So therefore, when do we say that you don't write a power of attorney that's animiliyeh to the chafre? That's only where there was an argument about the claim. But in a case where there had not as yet been a denial, there was no fear of the claim, so then we write the actual power of attorney, and then we'll see in court whether it's true or not. The only reason that we don't write the power of attorney is because of what's known as mirzik hashikra. It looks like we're taking sides over here on something that may be a straight-out lie. But if we have no reason to say that the person is even denying this, and we just have to go and collect the money, well, why shouldn't we write a power of attorney? Okay, so we've taken for granted in this Mishnah that if the bottom line isn't cash, that there's no dinner shvuas ha'edus. But how do we know that? Minayin she'ena katuba daber ala b'tfiat mamon. What gives you that idea that the question of whether I'm a kohen or not a kohen, which certainly to me it's worth money, that is not a case of shvuas ha'edus. Says Rebbe Eliezer, look, you know, there's a lot of oins. And these oins, they show up like all over the place. So if we take a look about the shvuas ha'edus, what does it say over there? Oh, yada. What's this oin stuff? Now it says the same thing about a shvuas ha'pikadon. It says over there, b'pikadon, oh, b'tzomet yad, oh, the gazel, oh, ashaket chavay. Now, that's really weird, all this oh. So that itself indicates that we're talking about a gzera shava of the O grouping, the O grouping. And that grouping, if we know that when it's talking about a shvuas ha'pikadon, there it speaks out the feirish in the Torah that it's talking about issues of mammon. It's all monetary. Remember we discussed that before where the guy says, you know, the separate issues, you know, was it gezela or was it tzomet yad? So what's the lashon over there? Pikadon. Oh, tzomet yad. Oh, gazel. Oh, ashaket chav. This is all mammon. Every last case of the pratim that are mentioned there are mominous. So just like the Torah spells out, when it comes to shvuat ha'pikadon, that we're only talking about the tviat mamon, so too in the other case of afkan enu medaber ela b'tvias mamon. It's talking about a bottom line, monetary bottom line. Oh, no, wait a minute, wait a minute. There's other places where we got the OO phenomena, and because this OO is not the same as the OOs that you're talking about. How about a Rotseach? We know by Rotseach it says, Oh, hishlich alav mitzdiah, oh, be'evah hikahu. And we've got all these psukim that talk about O's in the list of the ways that you could have caused the death of someone. And there we've got O's, and there's nothing about money in any of that. It's talking about a murder case. So, I mean, what gives you the right to say that wherever we've got O-O, it's always talking about a monetary issue? So, I don't see that this is very much of a riot, that wherever the Torah talks about O-O's, it's monetary. Yes, but I'm not talking about every O-O. I'm talking about O-O's of Shvuas. Now, there's two cases of O-O's of Shvuas. There's an O-O of Shvuas Abikotan, O Begazel, O Betzomet Yad, and so on. And then we have the O-O when it comes to O Ra'a, O Yada, by Shvuas Ha'edus. That's what I'm talking about. If you want to take a look at cases of Shvuas, where the Torah is mechayev you a carbon for a Shvua, and in both of the O-O cases of Shvua, it's always about money. So therefore, I say that it's essentially the same as Shvuas HaPikonon. You can't learn O-O's without a Shvua to O-O's with a Shvua, can you? No, no, wait a minute. What about, I know a case of an O-O with a Shvua, and it has nothing to do with money. How about the case of a Sota? So over there, we also have the O-O-O of the Sota, and over there, it's talking about O-in, and there are Shvua, and it's not talking about money. It says over there, Oh, avaralav ruachina. Oh, ish ashertav oralav ruachina. Why does it talk about O-O over there? And don't tell me it doesn't mention a shvua. It does mention a shvua. It says, v'hishbiah kohenet ha'isha. And that's not about money. That's about the question of whether she is chayevet as a sota and whether he's allowed to be her husband. Medarim shalo b'tviat mamon. Okay, that's true, but really, the answer is that that's a unique case. There's two things that make those other cases. Rotseach is not the same, and Sota is not the same. Because Rotseach is, of course, there's no Shvuah. And Sota has got this unique situation that has got to be a Kohen. So if there's something unique, we talk about O-in sheyeshi mayim Shvuah without a Kohen. Any mayim Kohen. So we have the both common denominators. We're going to learn out O-O's with Shvuas but without Kohens from O-O's with Shvuas but without Kohens. But if either of those things are missing, if you got a Kohen, forget about it. Don't try to learn from it. And if you've got a no Shvuah mentioned, then it's irrelevant to learning a Shvuah out of it. And al yochichu o-in derotzeach, and don't even think about the Rotseach one because there's no Shvuah. And don't think about the Sota one because even though there is a Shvuah, there is a Kohen. And when there's a Kohen, it's not similar to the cases that we're looking for, which is the similarities between the Shvuat HaPikadon and the Shvuat HaEdut. So that's the way I see it, that proves our contention that only in cases of bottom line cash do we have this whole din of Shvuas Ha'edus? We derive it from Shvuas HaPikadon. Rabbi Akiva says, well, you don't have to come on. This is a little bit unwieldy, this raya. I'd say we can actually look at it quite clearly from the Lashon of the Pasuk that we've analyzed in the past. So it says over there in the whole parsha of the Shvuas Ha'edus, V'haya ki ye'esham li'achat me'ele, v'yitvada asher chata ala. So, the achat me'ela. So, what is that saying? Me'ela always means, well, it's not the same. There are some of these that you're chayev on, and some of these that you're potter on. So, yesh me'ela shu chayav, v'yesh me'ela shu patur. Okay, so, how do you know which one is which? Well, in a case where we're talking about a monetary bottom line, then you would be chayav shvuas eidus. In a case where you're talking about a different bottom line, then you're potter from shvuas eidus. Now, obviously, later on, the Gemara is going to point out that there's nothing that in any way suggests that distinction. And where's Rabbi Akiva getting that from? In the end, we're going to certainly need the diak that we just made of the similarity to shvuas epikonon. But we'll see as the Gemara develops the shita over here. Okay, so we've got our first proof that we're talking only about bottom line money. That is from the fact that we have OO, a particular type of OO, and that it's talking about the same Gzeirah Shavah that puts us together with Shavuos HaPikudon and Shavuos HaEidus. That was Rabbi Eliezer, and that was his basis. Then we went ahead and we had Rabbi Akiva, and his basis was the May Eilah, which seems they're not all the same, and somehow or other he knows which ones are the ones that you're chayav on money, not things like I'm a Kohen. Now there's another Shita. This is Rabbi Yossi Aglili Shita. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, look, in the case about Shavuos HaEidus, so it says, for who aid o ra'ah o yada. Right? Now, this is very strange. Doesn't an aid, by definition, is a ra'ah and yada? I mean, so, like, what do you mean, o? What's the o? O ra'ah, o yada? That's what it means to be an aid. And what's even crazier is that it says or, which implies that you could be just a seer, but not a knower. Now, what is that supposed to mean? You could be just a knower and not a seer. Now, I mean, I don't understand. What kind of aid is that referring to, huh? Says Rabbi Yosef, got you over there, right? So this is clearly talking about a case where somebody's being asked to be an aid that he is going to be Mekayim with either Re'iyah alone, without Yediyah. I don't know what the heck the meaning is of what I saw. Or a case in which I know something about the case, but I didn't see it. So what is that? I'll tell you, says Rabbi Yosef, there's only one possible case, and that is a monetary bottom line. So let me show you how we would have that, and you'll see. There's no other case you could possibly be referring to. This is a brilliant diak, right? So how do we get Re'iyah below Yediyah? So you saw something, but you can't testify to anything that would actually be mechayev on the basis of what you saw. Okay, so let's say a case like this. A guy, Mr. A, says to Mr. B, look, I know what you're saying, that I never paid you back. What do you mean I never paid you back? I sat here, you know, right in front of Mr. A and Mr. B. I was right in front of them. And I counted out the cash to you, and I handed it to you. What are you talking about, says he. If those guys, Mr. A and Mr. B, come, and they say that they remember that you counted out cash in front of me, then obviously I forgot, and fine, I cancel my claim. He goes to Mr. A and Mr. B and says, okay, this guy is now committed to canceling his claim if I can show that that you saw me count out money. So they said, yeah, but we did see you count out money. We have no idea whether you're making a loan to him or you were paying back a loan or you were buying drugs. I mean, I don't know. But what's the point of our saying that we saw you count out money? None of your darn business, says he to Mr. A and Mr. B. This guy is telling us that he is ready to cancel his claim against me if you will tell him that. Now, will you please come to court and tell him that? Nah, we don't want to come. Okay, we swear we never heard it. Well, forget about it. Okay, so that is a case of Shavuos HaEidus, despite the fact that you'll say, but that's not Eidus. It is. In this case, it is Eidus, because it says Ora Aoyada. And we have a vice versa case as well. That case is the case of Zohi Re'iyah below Yediyah. We saw it. We have no idea what it means. Now, let me give you another case. A case which is, I know it, but I didn't see anything. Okay? The guy says to his friend, you know, you admitted that you owe me $100 in front of Mr. A and Mr. B. And that guy says, I owe you $100. I don't remember ever owing you $100. But if Mr. A and Mr. B will come and say that they heard me say I owe you $100, fine. I'm certainly not, don't want to walk away with any of your money. So let them come and say in front of the court that they actually did hear me say that, you know? Now, they didn't see anything. They don't know that they saw a loan or anything. They heard a guy say something. That's a yedia. But there's no re'iyah of the event. So that would be a case where also they would be chayav shvuas ha'edus because of the fact that o ra'ah o yada, you see? Now, how could you ever have anything like that in anything but a monetary situation where the guy has set it up that he's ready to pay or ready to cancel a debt based on their o ra'ah o yada? I mean, it's not going to be meaningful in a murder trial. We heard a guy say that he murdered someone. It's ridiculous. So the only possible case that it could be talking about is a case of money. That's the third raya. Brilliant, really brilliant analysis over here of the words. Rabbi Shimon says, now, I want to show, this is very similar to Rabbi Eliezer. Look, the Torah was mechayev somebody for making a shvuas sheker for shvuas ha'edus, and it also was mechayev you for making a shvuas habikaton falsely, right? So let's just make a mamatzino. Just like we find that in a case of shvuas habikaton, it says beferish in the pasuk, it lists all the various types of things. They're all monetary things. So enu medaber ela b'tviat mamon. So over here, it makes sense that if we find the same general idea in the shvuas ha'edus, there too, enu medaber ela b'tviat mamon. Not to mention the fact but it's even a kal v'chomer. Because, look, a pikudon, I mean, you know, a pikudon is a very broad-based kind of shvua. I mean, think about it. It applies to women, same way it applies to men. It applies to relatives, same way it applies to rechokim. It applies to people who are puzzled for edus, the same way it applies to ksherim, none of which is true about shvuas edus. That only will apply to men, not to women. That only will apply to people that are not related. Only will apply to people that are kosher for edus. And not only that, v'chiyev al kol achat b'achat, bein b'fnei beitin, or bein shalom b'fnei beitin. So over there, it was b'chayev you, every single shvua that you make, you know, you can make it one time after another time, even in front of Besdin. You can't do that with the shvuas ha'edus. A shvuas ha'edus, once you were kofer in front of Besdin, any other shvua doesn't count, remember? Because anyway, you're not going to be able to be made. So, of course, your hodah is irrelevant to us. There's no critical value to anything that you say once you already denied knowledge of it in front of the court. When it comes to shvuas ha'pikudon, you could be chayiv multiple times, as many times as you make that shvua. And it doesn't have to be in front of a court at all. And nonetheless, the din is that you're only chayev in that case on monetary issues, correct? Ain't no chayev when it comes, however, to shvuas ha'edus. Ain't no medaber ela b'tvias mamon. So kol shekein, when we're talking about a shvuas ha'edus, it's very limited. Lo asah b'anashim k'anashim, lo asah b'krovim k'rechokim, lo asabo psulim kiksherim, and furthermore, you're only chayev once in front of Bezi. You cannot be mechayev more than once. So for sure, it's only talking about a limited case that is dealing with tviat mamon. So that makes perfectly good sense to me. Now, I know that there's something wrong with what it is that I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you what's wrong tomorrow, which is going to start off our next stuff, so that we don't overstress our poor Big N, who told us to start at 8:30, but then it turned out he wasn't ready by 8:30. And this is putting him into a very tense kind of situation. We want to allow him time to recover.
I went at 7:30.
You mean you thought you'd be able to miss the whole thing, huh? Okay, very good.
And Richard was eating, so he was in the past then.
All right, everybody, It's wonderful to be back with you. I missed you a lot. And we'll see you Bezrat Hashem regular time tomorrow morning. Don't forget to do Kiddush Levana, even if you didn't get a chance to do it yet, because now all the Shitas hold. You're ready. You're able, even those who wait till 7 days after. It's now 7 days after the Molad. So it's good to go ahead and get that done. Laila Tov, and a wonderful, happy time post-Shavuos before we get to the tough times to come, so we can take it easy a little bit. Take a look at Richie. I mean, look how taking it easy he is. We have to learn from that. And when the tough time comes, it's a way to Finland, you know? Richie's Island. Happiness is sitting on the porch on a rocking chair. Laila Tov, Rich. See you all Bezrat Hashem tomorrow.